I believe in free trade, but we have to make a better deal than that.
I think NAFTA has been a total disaster. Look, Ford's building, I told you, Ford's building a plant in Mexico, okay? What good does that do? What good does it do? They're hiring thousands of people, all Mexican, which is fine for Mexico.
Isn't that what free trade's about?
No, because we don't get anything. We never get anything. What do we get out of it? We don't get anything. Does Mexico come here and build a plant in the United States?
No, but they buy more goods.
No, they don't really. They buy goods made in Mexico. They buy goods made in Mexico.
If you check it. We export a lot more to Mexico than we did before NAFTA.
No, but you take a look at the other way around. Let's put it this way. If this were a profit and loss statement, and you looked at China versus the United States, Japan versus the United States, Mexico, we lose a fortune with every deal we have.
Good morning, America! From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, you are tuned in to the Johnny Punish Show, produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Let's get this show rockin'!
I spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun.
I'm on the line with Marcos Cordero, CEO of the Lake Chapala Directory in Guadalajara, Mexico. A lot of people have questions about the crisis in Mexico over the gasoline, but more, they have questions about the crisis of government and what's going on with the government of Mexico, with the peso, with Donald Trump. I thought maybe you can first explain the issue with the gasoline crisis, and then we can talk about the government. So go ahead and tell us what's going on down there.
Well, first of all, way back, Peña Nieto made a negotiation with the United States and other countries like England to bring them in where they could sell their goods and wares in our country here. Okay? This is like free trade. They were going to come in. And the reason why they did that is because the United States and Great Britain have offered to do their deep water exploration. Okay, now then Mexico does not have the money to do the deep water exploration because it costs billions of dollars to build a platform. And so they require, you know, Great Britain or the United States to go out there and do that for them. Okay, in order to do that and to have an interest in that, especially now that gas prices have gone down, they have to offer other things. Like, in other words, when their gas is being sold here, they have to be able to compete with Pemex on that. Same situation. Now, they were, Pemex was being subsidized by about 20%, where it kept the prices low for the Mexicans here, okay, for all of us that live here. Okay, now, that would be unfair if you're coming in to compete with that, because that would mean that the American and the British prices would be about 20% too high. And why would anyone in their right mind go and buy oil or gas from something like that? So they had, in order to stabilize that situation, they had to bring it into fair trade, okay, which means that, you know, in order to have them go out and do this oil exploration, they would have to negotiate a better deal on selling their gas here in the country. So in other words, now they took away that 20%, which will not, as far as I know, be restored again. To my knowledge, I don't think they will do that, because they need the deep water exploration to help shore up Mexico. Mexico used to be totally reliant on Pemex, and Pemex paid about 99% of their bills to the United States and other countries. So they were extremely dependent on Pemex for that, okay? Well, of course, now Pemex does not have that kind of gas to gasoline to pay off that type of debt. And so consequently, now it's coming from the auto industry, which now we don't have that anymore either, because with the swipe of a wand, our elected president will be taking that away from them. Okay, so now they really are dependent on getting the exploration going, getting that gas coming up, so that Mexico can, in its own way, be great again and have the money to, you know, fix the country to that degree. But that's how it stands. They're not going to, I don't think, come down on that 20%. As much as they cry and whine and everything, they're not going to come down on it because they've got to do it.
Wow. So basically, Pemex mismanaged its business over the last 20, 30 years. The Mexican government has to open it up to the big seven sisters, the Exxons, the Texacos, the British Petroleum, et cetera. Is that correct?
Yep. That's kind of the way it is. I don't think it's so much necessarily that Pemex mismanaged, but that all of the profit basically from Pemex went to pay off Mexico's debt with the United States and other countries where they accumulated debt. So, I mean, yes, Pemex did have some of that responsibility in there, but I'd say overall it was just like, you know, they paid their bills for Mexico is what Pemex did. There's a whole book about that, about how Pemex paid all these bills. And every time they went into debt, they, you know, Mexico paid the deal. You know, it's just the way it was. And now they can't do that anymore.
Right. So Mexico paid its bills based on its resources that it has, and now it's selling the resources basically to the highest bidder, and they are going to be coming back into the country.
It will retain the wells. The wells will be Mexico's wells. Even if they're in deep water wells, they will be Mexico's wells. The oil coming up out of the wells will be sold to British Petroleum or the U.S. or whoever decides to put the money up for this, probably both of them. And this will allow them to sell this gas and oil to the United States and whoever. But they'll be paying Mexico for every barrel that they pull up out of there. Of course, right now, it used to be that British Petroleum had offered $80 a barrel to the United to Mexico way back when. And, of course, nobody went for that deal. They couldn't do it. And so they said, no, 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 we're not doing that. We're not selling out to British Petroleum or anything like that. And British Petroleum told them, they said, well, you can keep the well. We just want to buy the gas. We'll give you 80 a barrel. Nope, nope, nope. We're not doing that. You know, Pemex is Pemex, and it'll have to, it needs to do its own thing. Well, of course, it never did and never could, because we're talking billions of dollars to put a platform out there, you know?
Right.
It's deep water. So, I mean, you know, I look at it like, yeah, there were mistakes made. It was just that, you know, Mexico doesn't make the kind of money it needs to make to pay for some of its debt.
What's the consequences to the average Mexican? I know they're protesting in the streets in Mexico City. There's been some protests in the Baja, California. What's the process? What's going on?
There's really nothing they can do. It's like they're going to protest. There's already been deaths over there because, they've had to defend against it and all that type of thing. But it's like really and truthfully, based on the facts, you know, Pemex is no longer in business like it used to be. So, I mean, what we're looking at, Pemex is the stations you see, the Pemex stations. That's really what's basically left, you know, other than the deep water wells that are existing out in the ocean. So, in other words, it's like without those deep water wells, Pemex will fade. And they're going to end up buying oil from the Middle East is what they're doing.
Wow.
Because where are they going to get their oil? You know, their wells are dry. They've already pumped their biggest well. It's basically gone, you know. And that gas and oil is being sold to the United States. And the United States has almost all the right to refine it. That was in the agreement. You know, you'd have to sell it to the United States, bring it to the United States for refining it. Okay. Now, I don't know whether they have refineries here now, but basically speaking, the United States was refining all of their oil and shipping it back to them, their gas and oil. And that's what Mexico is selling, okay?
Now, the Mexican people's reaction is bad, but what's the future for Mexico based on this new gas scenario?
You know, suck it up.
Okay.
I don't see any help for them because, you see, that Mexico can't come in and subsidize it again because it would kill the deal out in the deep water deal. Because, you know, Pemex, British Petroleum and the United States will say, well, you know, we're not going to go in there and compete against you like that because, you know, you're going to be 20% cheaper than us. Where's the profit in that for us? And there isn't any. So, consequently, you go dig your own well out in the deep water and see how you do with it. Well, they can't. They don't have the money. So, I mean, they're between a rock and a hard spot. So I really don't see at this point where Mexico has any alternative but to lower their oil so that these people can come in so that Pemex can be Pemex again. It's like, you know, it's a trade out, you know, and it's like the Mexican needs to understand that, you know, all this time the government has been subsidizing this, and the reality is it's 20% more than they were buying it for. And so they're going to have to suck it up.
In the United States, we have gas prices that are actually lower than Mexico. Is there any possibility that the gas prices will ever get to U.S. levels in terms of price point down, you know, with competition? Is that possible?
I don't really see that necessarily as happening, but it's possible. But you'd sit down and say that there would have to be a lot of a flood of stations from Great Britain and the United States come in here to sell that kind of quantity of gas to bring those prices down. I don't know that Mexico would let that happen to that degree. I don't know. They let them come in, and they're going to let them come in because they have to. It's like they want to keep Pemex as a valuable resource as it is with those wells. They're going to have to negotiate. They're going to have to do it. They're going to have to do it. For right now, the Mexican prices and gas will be high here. And what will happen is once they bring in the U.S. and the British and whoever else comes in to compete in here, the prices will naturally come down because it's like, you know, they're starting up that 20% can drop back down 20%, you know, but everybody's going to be on the same boat when it happens. You know what I mean? In other words, you know, they're going to drop it down 2 cents, drop it down 4 cents, drop it down. You know how they do it in the United States. It's like that's how they do it. You know, they have like gas price wars to a certain degree and start dropping prices to get them to come to the stations and offering incentives to buy gas with them and all that stuff. That's got to take place. That's a long time ahead. But I see it, you know, maybe eventually dropping down. But I don't think it's ever going to be as low as the U.S. because I don't know that the United States is going to continue probably refining their oil for them. And there's a charge for that. You know, the United States is not doing that for free. They're charging Mexico for refining their oil. But that was in the agreement with Mexico.
Now, this comes at an inopportune time because the United States just elected Donald Trump as their president. And Trump has made a pledge to wage his war on Mexico, both on immigration and both on economic trade. You know, we're going to be expecting here in the next 100 days that Donald Trump begins his attack on Mexico to renegotiate NAFTA and to build that beautiful wall of his. What are the effects now of the gas crisis, and how much leverage more does that give Donald Trump to attack Mexico?
Looking at it from that standpoint, first of all, this was a major platform that he won on because people are under the assumption that Mexico takes jobs from America, okay? They think that the Mexican is taking jobs from them. Okay, well, first of all, the majority of the jobs that the Mexicans took were, you know, picking cucumbers to tangerines to oranges to whatever, fruits and vegetables, things like that. That's what they were doing. They were working in the farming end of it. They were also working in the meat packing plants where, you know, it's hard labor, it's cold work. They were working in a lot of places where Americans will not work. Now, this has been proven out because back about 5 or 10 years ago, they had cut back on allowing immigrants to come in and work for these farmers without having credentials, okay? So all the farmers, they said, you're going to get a fine. If we catch you with these guys working over there, you will be fined severely. That's what was said to them. Okay, so they got rid of them. Okay, so, well, you can't work here anymore. So what did the farmers do? Well, they couldn't keep, you know, planting cucumbers because there's nobody to pick them. They couldn't keep the orange groves because there's nobody to pick those either, okay? Because they advertised for those guys, you know, the white guys in the United States, and they never came. They didn't want to pick them. They didn't want to be that back-breaking labor. They didn't want the cold and the packing plants. They didn't want any of that stuff. So they weren't looking for those jobs, okay? They were too educated to have those kind of jobs. So I don't see what jobs the United States is saying the Mexican is taking from them. The only possible way the Mexican could take a job from them would be that he becomes more educated than them and takes the job, or he is a better worker than them and takes that job. And in that case, he deserves the job. You know what I mean?
I always tell my friends that. So you mean to tell me a guy that doesn't speak English, has no education in your system, doesn't understand your system, has stolen your job? What the hell does that say about you, brother? You know what I mean? How dumb are you? How stupid are you?
You have to realize it. We have become a very lazy nation. Why is that? Because everybody could get credit. Okay? So everybody was buying beyond their means. You know, why are you buying that little Chevy when you could have a Cadillac? Oh, I can have a Cadillac? Yes, you can have a Cadillac. So immediately we started living beyond our means. As long as we live beyond our means, we can go and finance our way out of trouble, right? Well, we financed our way into trouble is what we've done. And so now, you know, there is hardly any credit in the United States you can get anymore like that. And the ones who get it have to have good credit to get it. At one time, anybody could get it. You could have numerous credit cards that you had basically not paid on at all, and another credit card come along and say, hey, look, I'll tell you what, I'll take your bad credit for you, put it on our card and give you a better rate. Oh, yes, of course. Thank you.
Regardless of the reality versus what Trump has sold to the people and the U.S. media has sold to the people, which is a bunch of bullshit, we still have Trump won on bullshit. I mean, he lied his ass off to the he fear-mongered his way into the job, scared the hell out of it. I mean, he even said Obama created ISIS, for God's sakes. And what did he say? I mean, this guy's an idiot. I mean, the people are dumb. I hate to say this, and I'm sorry for the listeners who are hearing this, especially you Trump bots. I mean, this is dumb. This is dumb, and they bought it, the hook, line, and sinker, which makes Trump super smart. And he's a shrewd predator. This guy is the best exploiter there is in America. He's exploited the fears of America, and they actually believe, they believe this guy, you know?
Yeah, Johnny, you know, you've been in business a long time, and you do really good in business. So I'm going to ask you this, you know, looking at it from the Trump standpoint, okay, this guy is highly sensitive. You know, he's the type of guy you really don't want to piss off.
Well, he's not just sensitive. He's a dangerous man. He's actually an exploiter.
Well, I know. Yeah. And see, that's why I'm saying you don't want to piss him off. You know, it's like Democrats are in trouble. They think it's all over, but it hasn't even started yet.
No,
I'm serious.
I think Richard Branson from Virgin Atlantic said very clear. He was invited over to Donald Trump's place, and he hung out with Donald thinking they were going to talk about business, and they spent the next hour listening to Donald Trump talk about revenge. I mean, this guy is a sick, he's a sick bastard. He really is truly a sick, narcissistic bastard. He's a prick. When we deal with a guy like that, the way to deal with him is head on. You do not deal with a guy like that. He's a revengeful person. He has a blacklist, and he's very vicious, and he has the power to do so. And they handed him the keys to the hen house. He's going to freaking rape and pillage, dude.
I know. That's why I'm saying, look, if you look at where Mexico stands on this situation that he created, that Trump created, they have one leg up, and they are in deep shit, and there is no way out of it. Because, number one, Mexico relies 80% of their income comes from the United States, okay? 80%. 5% comes from Canada, 80% from the U.S., okay? So you're looking at a situation where they can't cut off their nose to spite their face, okay? It's very difficult to be mean to to Trump because he holds all the cards. He's got all the aces. He's got the full house. He's got the whole thing.
The gas crisis, in my view, gives him even more leverage. So, yes, I think Mexico's in deep trouble.
Yeah, because, I mean, he could stop that from happening, which would hurt Mexico even worse, okay?
And expect it. This is what he does. He doesn't care if people die. He doesn't care if people get hurt. He doesn't care.
No, I know. Really. But the thing of it is that Trump likes to be stroked. He is a guy that has an ego, and he's got a huge ego that likes to be stroked. I mean, you say anything nice about him, and boy, he's paying attention to you now.
Okay? That's true.
I think you got the greatest hair in the world. I wish I had hair like yours. You know, you probably hear a 30-minute sermon time on that one. But the whole thing of it is that, you know, the guy isn't stupid. People like to make him think he's stupid. He's not stupid. This guy is a very smart guy, and he's made his money, and he's a billionaire, okay? He's survived a lot of shit, and he knows how to get the free entertainment, so to speak. Because look at, he invested so little in his run for the presidency, it was pathetic. But the reason being is because everybody was interested in hearing what he had to say, whether it was good or bad, and everybody was talking about him, whether it was good or bad. And he always said, hey, any publicity is good to me. I don't care if it's good or bad. And he was sure right, because he ended up being the president, right? So Hillary spent a ton of money on publicity. Where did it get her? It got her a loss, okay? It did not work. Why? Because she wasn't as entertaining as he was. He knows how to entertain, and he gets that job done quite well. So, but the only way that Mexico can really come up on this deal is this. First of all, Fox has got to not talk anymore. Fox is a rich guy. He used to be head of Coca-Cola in Mexico. And he said some really terrible things about Trump, okay? And so is Calderon, and so is the president. Calling him a Nazi, Hitler, numerous things. Okay, now, number one, Trump has a memory like an elephant, so to speak, and his daughter even said that, and he says he doesn't forget. Okay, so that means that, you know, here's a couple of three rich guys, okay? All those presidents are rich guys talking about this country. Well, I'm not going to pay for that damn wall, whatever. Okay, you're not going to pay for it. No, but the little Mexican's going to pay for it because of what you said. You're okay because you live in your mansion. You go home at night, you eat steak and potatoes. He goes home, he's lucky to have beans. And now you're going to piss off a guy that's going to hurt him even worse.
Marcos, I expect Mexico to get hurt really badly. Right now, we're at 22 pesos to the dollar. It's going to get worse. I think we're going to be looking at 30 or even 40 pesos to the dollar down the road, which is going to be great for Americans who want to come visit Mexico and enjoy the fruits of the great beaches and resorts. But for the average Mexican, it's going to be a freaking disaster.
Yes, it is. That's true. Unless they figure out some way to stroke Trump and turn him back on to Mexico and make him understand that there's more reason to do business in Mexico than there is to destroy Mexico. Because he's a businessman and he likes business. He likes to make deals. He likes to think that he's a great deal maker. And I think that there's a lot of good deals he can make right here in Mexico. And he's really cut that off because of his politics. Now, he can get back into doing deals with Mexico if Mexico is in agreement with some of the things he has to say, okay? Number one, they need to give up on the wall thing. He's going to build the damn wall. I don't care what anybody says. He's going to build it. Come hell or high water, he's going to build it in spite of anybody. Why? Because that's how he is. You know, you tell him no and he's going to do it. You know, you tell him you can't do it, he will do it. Yeah, you tell him you hate him and he's going to hate you back worse. So, I mean, he's just not going to take it. You know, he's not going to take that kind of stuff. So I look at it like Trump has to be stroked in a way where he sees opportunity in Mexico beyond the problems that are in the United States. In other words, fine, we won't send our Mexicans to the United States to take over your ghost jobs that you think we've taken over. We would prefer that you help us establish Mexico in our own way, and that way we are a better wing to the U.S. because they have to protect from Central America coming over to the United States. They have to protect from anything from Iran, Iraq, or anywhere else that comes over through there. They're the ones, just like Canada is. Okay, so they are like the two wings of the United States. It's like Canada and Mexico. It's better to have a strong Mexico than a weak Mexico in that situation, because Mexicans sit down and say, well, you know, you've taken all our livelihood. We can no longer afford to defend your wing here. So this wing is now defenseless, and we're going to let the Central Americans come in a flood, and we're also going to let anything else come in. We're not going to defend it because we don't have any money. You've taken all our resources.
Does Mexico have any plans to do business with other countries to limit the leverage the U.S. has? In other words, in the last 20 years, we've seen China invade Mexico with products and services. In fact, here in Ensenada, we see Chinese people running around everywhere. I don't know if you know that, but they're been growing. So is there a possibility that China or Russia or other countries around the world will get into Mexico more than the United States eventually and make it a more diverse economy, giving the United States less leverage over Mexico?
I seriously doubt it, because I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Mexico has to be careful who they deal with. Number one, right now, China is not a good friend of Mr. Trump. Russia is, so to speak.
Wait a second. In the United States, they're talking about Russia getting him elected and all that shit. So I think he's really good friends with Russia, isn't he?
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, whether they did or not, it's like he seems to think Putin's the right type of guy and he's a leader and whatever, you know. And Putin does have very high ratings in this country for some odd reason. So, but the whole point of it is that I look at it like this. The United States can limit Mexico on who they can do business with, too. They can limit them. You know what I'm saying? They can limit what China does with Mexico. I said, no, we don't want you doing that business with China and Mexico, okay? No, we don't want you doing any business with Cuba. Now, you remember when Cuba was going to come over here and we were going to have Fidel over here to visit Mexico one time, about 10 years ago? Well, you know what? They were announcing it in Mexico, oh, yeah, you know, Fidel's coming over and we're going to do negotiations with Cuba and da-da-da-da-da. Next thing we hear is the Fair President came on. I don't remember which one it was either Calderon or another one like that. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that at all. That's been canceled, okay? Why? Because the United States called up and said, you are not going to have that meeting. So, in other words, it's kind of like, this is kind of like a Jack and the Beanstalk deal. We're Jack and they're the giant. And we have to be careful how we deal with that. You know what I mean? There's a right and wrong way to deal with Trump. And you know it as well as I do. You're a salesman. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't go up to the big guy and start threatening him. What are you threatening him with?
You got to have leverage.
Yeah, and they don't have much leverage, considering the fact that 80% of what they sell goes to the U.S. That doesn't give us leverage.
We're coming up on the time allotted on the Johnny Punish show right now. I want to thank you for presenting this issue to us. I want to have you on again to further discuss the issues of Mexico, because it's an ongoing challenge, and this is going to be an ongoing war against Mexico from the United States. So it's going to be a lot to talk about. Marcos, we're going to have you on again. Thank you for appearing on the Johnny Punish Show. It's been a pleasure to have you on for the first time, and we're definitely going to get you on again.
Good day, America! From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, this concludes today's Johnny Punish Show. Produced by the Veterans Today Network and VTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. I'm your host, Johnny Punish, wishing you an amazing day. Until we meet again!
I spent all my years